Welcome to the pilot episode of Polycast, the official podcast of Apolliton Civilization Site. I'm one of your hosts, Wout Snijders, known as Lacutus on the forums. I'm here with Dan Quick, known as Dan Q. Say hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Okay.
So predictable.
Yeah. And as you heard, we have another person here, Makalua. I think you prefer to be called Maki, is that right?
Yes. That's me. From Texas. Hello.
Ooh.
Oh, that sounds
our own Southern Belle. And normally we also have Imran Siddiqui here, but he couldn't be here this week. He had a slight case of overheating for his on his processor, probably induced by a lightning strike. So he'll be back next
well,
time.
Like, definitely induced.
On the show today, we start by bringing you the latest news from the civilization community, and we will discuss some of the interesting news items. We then have sort of an interview. We interview each other because we couldn't find anyone else to badger. Finally, we'll have a, well, not finally, we'll have a mailbag segment in which we answer some of your questions. And finally, we discuss the hot items in the forums. And at the very end, Dan has a very special extra bit of something, but you'll see about that later. Okay, without further ado, over to Dan for the news.
Thanks, Wouter. For the month of July 2006, Civilization IV was the 13th best-selling PC game in North America, according to NPD Group. Despite only having been released on the 24th of July, the expansion pack Civilization IV Warlords also made it onto the month's top 20 listing, debuting on the 16th spot. For the full listings, check out the IGN website at pc.ign.com. And for the United Kingdom, Warlords is not on the sales top 10 for the week ending August 26th, but according to the ELSPA, the original Civilization IV is the 10th best-selling PC game in the UK for that week. For the full listing, check out their website at ELSPA.com.
I'm so shocked that World of Warcraft is on top.
Yes. Shocking.
I thought it was World of Warcraft.
That's true. It is World of Warcraft. That's why I said I'm so surprised.
Oh.
Well, I think it's excellent. I mean, I don't think it's unexpected that Warlords is doing well, given that sales of Civilization IV, and it's generally rave reviews by critics and fans alike, but sales of Civ IV itself have probably been re-sparked by the release and interest in Warlords, people thinking, oh, maybe I should pick up a copy of Warlords. Yes. Even though Warlords has not so far enjoyed the same level of rave reviews by critics or fans, perhaps it's some people saying, Warlords, is it as good or as bad as I hear it is? I guess I need to pick up a copy of Civ IV and try it.
And a lot of people who are seeing the two of them, seeing that they've got the expansion out, were going, oh, well, maybe now Civ IV is stable enough for me to buy. Because you know how people are, I mean, less... Maybe technically inclined people, I think, tend to be a little more wary with patches and things like that.
Yeah, that was my thinking, too. When you always see that when a new game comes out, there are also people who haven't bought the original. Or when a new expansion comes out, people haven't bought the original, so they buy both as soon as an expansion pack comes out. What surprised me most about this article, that Warlords was in the July top 20 for best sales. It was only out for, what, 6 days until July was over?
Yeah, probably factors in all the pre-orders, though, because everyone would come in to pick them up.
That's true. That's true.
But, I mean, even off-the-shelf sales, well, if it... Was that a week? No. It's come out in the middle of the week. But even so, people get paid near the end of the month, if they get other things, and like, oh, I can splurge on things now. Oh, look, Warlords.
Yeah, that's true. Still, only 7 days, I found it a little bit surprising.
Well, it tells you everybody really, really wanted it. At least that's what we hope.
Yep. Well, it's a popular game. We hope, indeed. Haven't heard any absolute numbers yet.
It'll be interesting to see how long both Civ IV and Warlords do stay on the charts, and whether or not one comes out on top. I guess, I mean, totally speculation there, but I mean, if Warlord stays on top and then Civilization IV kind of drops off, it could be suggestive that those people who are picking up Warlords are those who already have Civ IV.
Yeah, I think those mostly renters start the first day.
Except for those living under a rock. Come on.
Exactly.
Or those of us on a budget.
Or those on a budget, yes.
Well, the game is still full price in most places, I think, so I'm not sure if that makes a huge difference.
And there's not too much, I don't think, coming out too soon in strategy that's going to challenge that, except maybe when Caesar 4 comes out in a couple of months.
Yeah, that's still a couple of months out. And we have a new Rome, what is it, Total War game coming out.
Yeah,
I'm not
and
sure if that's this winter.
Yeah, no, I think so. That's right, because I remember the other day reading something, there's three Rome-themed, Rome-based strategy things coming out all at the same
those
time.
Those are all builder games. There's Civ City Rome, there's Caesar 4, of course, and one other fairly obscure, I think, indie title. Those are all builder games. You also have Medieval War coming out, Medieval War 2. That's also a big, big strategy game.
So it's a lull right now in strategy.
Yeah, right now, the summer, it's a lull. There's not much out at the moment. Only Civ City Rome. That's not really a very popular title, I get the impression.
Well, a couple of places I went, I saw that people liked the idea of being able to look at the individual citizens, but I'm not sure that on the larger scale that seemed to work for them. But I think a lot of the same people were used to the older Caesar games or the Pharaoh and Cleopatra type ones.
Yeah, that's what I hear as well. A lot of people like the idea, but the gameplay is pretty much identical to a Caesar game.
And then in the fall, we've also got the expansion pack for Galactic Civilizations 2, Dark Avatar, coming out.
Yeah, that's interesting, but I don't think that will have a huge effect on rating. It's a pretty small game ratings-wise.
Time will tell. Time will tell.
That's true.
Because, I mean, the original Galactic Civilizations was up against Master of Orion 3, and we know how that turned out.
That's true.
Master
of course,
Orion
that
3.
Was a pretty crappy game.
Just to be clear, which game are you talking about?
Mo, the Master of Orion.
Okay, I just don't want people to say, what was he getting up there?
Oh. So much potential, but oh my.
Yeah.
It's called, there's a reason I have DOSBox and I keep old games on here.
Yes, exactly. I play Mo 2 a lot more than I play Mo 3.
GameProducer.net has published an interview with Civ 4 and Civ 4 Warlords producer Jesse Smith of Firaxis Games. In the interview, Jesse discusses what it's like to be producer for a company like Firaxis and on a game like Civ 4.
Jesse cites that the most challenging moment in Civ 4's development is being able to get, in the interview, not so much in the summary there, but reading the interview about the most challenging moment was getting the community involved a year and a half before release. Now, I am a participant in Frankenstein, although more passively than not, unfortunately too many other commitments, but Bowouter is that and way more so. Cheers to you and, all the other, 150 odd testers by the end of Civ 4's development cycle. Any idea how many were involved in Warlords testing? I know there were some new faces involved and older ones not.
I think there were a few new faces, but not too many. It wasn't really a very long development cycle, so there wasn't all that much time to focus on the Frankenstein group. Most of that is also under still in the NDA, so I can't talk too much about the details of everything.
No, I understand.
But it's basically the same group, but there's always people coming, people going. Like you said, people have real-time commitments. So they disappeared for a few months.
And I remember when...
And I think
go ahead.
Yeah, no, at any one time, I think there's maybe 2-3 dozen people active. Just different ones every time. Sometimes it's old-timers coming back. Sometimes it's new people being introduced to the group. So that's how that works.
That seems to really help, though, I think, in the end product, because you got a lot of different views from people who had all sorts of different play styles. And if you notice when you're actually playing, you can pursue whatever goals you want. And it's not, I mean, I know there's people who have been saying lately that it's sort of focused on warmonger, but you can pull off things like the OCC games and cultural wins and diplomatics. So it's not entirely, but it benefited a lot from having that much input.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. It has made a huge difference. It's so many different viewpoints and everyone gets heard. And it's a very direct way to influence the development of a game. And that's not something that's done very often.
My play style is to win.
All of our play style is to win. We just have different paths to getting there.
That's true. That's true. When Marcos and I were doing a guided tour of the Firaxis Games office, which is an up-and-coming news item here, we saw the Warlord sign-off sheet posted on the front door with the names and signatures of many employees saying that their area of responsibility was set and it was good to go. And I was kind of hesitant to record that at first because there was signatures on it, but our guide, Dennis Shirk, online marketing manager at Firaxis, says, oh, you can get a shot of that if you want. So that's in there.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. Didn't know they did it like that. The whole tour was quite interesting. So I don't know if you want to go over to that now or.
Well, actually, just before we go to that, Jesse mentions working during the interview, working for Activision for a time on a number of sports titles. He says he applied, but he didn't get the job when he first applied to Firaxis in 97, saying he needed more experience. So he moved to another company's West Coast office in 2000 and then joined Firaxis in 2003. And you can see his bio on Firaxis.com. Guess what, folks? I hadn't noticed this before. Maybe it's just, you know, Daniel come lately, but Jesse worked on Call to Power, which, interestingly enough, on the Firaxis bio says Sid Meier's Civilization Call to Power on his official bio on Firaxis.com.
Okay. I didn't even know he worked on Call to Power, and I worked on that game as well, as in same capacity as the test.
Well, I started getting, you know, a little suspicious. I wondered if the timing was just right based on the dates that he was mentioning in the interview, so I thought, oh, I'll check out his bio, and sure enough, not only was it listed there, but we've got Sid's name in front of us. But based on that, it looks as though he only worked on the first one. Perhaps he'd moved on by the time Call to Power 2 development had been going on, but I've never seen Jesse talk about his Call to Power experience.
No, indeed. Yeah, you're right about the Sid Meier reference. That's a bit of an embarrassing mistake.
Ouch.
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 Yeah.
Proofread your bios, people.
Yeah.
Ed, you notice the Civ 4 shirt Jesse is wearing in that photograph of him there? Even though the photo's black and white, I'll bet it's a dark blue with the gold color of Civ 4 text because I own a copy of that shirt, too.
I hadn't noticed that.
Show off.
Yes.
Who, me?
Yes, you. Too many clicks. Gamma Sutra has published a 6-page article written by Philip Goetz about the very high number of mouse clicks, keystrokes, and mouse scrolls required in computer games. It states that the unit-based user interface is no longer sufficient and suggests a different way of thinking about UIs. Civ 3's unit-based interface is used throughout the article as an example.
Well.
What? Do people want to be able to use their mind to control the computer now?
I guess so. I forget what page it's on, but he talks about, you know, his in one turn in the year 1848, so many mouse clicks, so many keystrokes, da-da-da-da-da. But he didn't tell us how large the map was. You know, huh? You forgot to mention something.
Yeah,
you hiding something? Come on. Full disclosure here. You know. And
well, yeah, if you play on a huge map and you're in 1848, yes, you're going to have a lot of clicks.
And also, Philip, could you clarify, was this the original Civ 3? It should have any of its expansions installed? Now, unless I'm in some other world, and that does happen from time to time, more than I care to admit, perhaps, with Conquest, were not more automation items added? So would that not be a relevant point to make?
What would be even more relevant, that Civ 3 is a, what, 6-year-old game now?
Well, I wasn't trying to go for the obvious. I was trying to soften the blow for poor Philip. I was trying to be sensitive. You know, he did a lot of work.
Well, I think this whole article is a bit silly, because you take a 7-year-old, 6-year-old computer game and you're going to bash on everything that's wrong with it. Shall we go back to the original Doom and look at what's wrong with that game? It's not really fair to the people who made the latest version. If you're going to make an article about what's wrong with Civ, which I think is fair, you could do that. But do it with the latest version. Do it with Civ 4.
Yeah, and you know...
I think has made major strides forward in the UE department.
Yeah, you know what?
It could still be better.
Yeah, there's a lot of... maintenance and having to worry about corruption things, having to click set, you know, where you'd have to micromanage things. There's a lot less of it now. I mean, it's not that it's not there, but there's a lot less than there used to be. And so he's bashing on, oh, well, this older game, yeah, that's just, no.
You know.
He used to have been reviewing Civ 4. You want to talk about Civ 4, talk about Civ 4, but...
Exactly, yeah. And some of the stuff he suggests is that being able to say, okay, I want a road from here to here, you can actually just sort of do that in Civ 4 now. So, yeah, the criticism just isn't valid anymore.
I think Gamma Sutra, they run commissioned articles, don't they? Like Philip actually got paid for that, did he? I'm not sure, but...
I don't know about that.
But even if he didn't, perhaps he wants more attention, because he knew that if he talked about Civ 3, people would be giving the same... statement about, well, why not compare Civ 4? I think he just wants to be on the front page of Gamma Sutra some more, because he has to write a follow-up article now on Civ 4. See, if he just wrote about Civ 4, then he wouldn't have a follow-up article, potentially, see?
Well, that's true.
But, you know, and he says, you may wonder why I'm talking about Civ 3 when Civ 4 has been out for months. I never bought Civ 4. I've been waiting and hoping for a more playable Civ. What finally arrived was a Civ that just takes as many clicks, but with a new animated 3D UI, quote-unquote, well. You know, you know, we've already got, he's already done Civ 3. Okay, we can't take that back. No depublishing.
Or maybe he just wants a free copy of Civ 4, because that's exactly what he got.
Yes, I saw that. Well played.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that was pretty smart of him.
I want to learn from you, Philip. That's amazing.
Maybe next he'll complain about Warlords and get a free copy of that.
Ooh, without having even played it. Just...
Well, you know what I mean. Oh, I take it back. He'll complain about Civ 4.
Complaining about
Warlords. There we go. Mm.
No, that'll be the next level, complaining about a game that he hasn't played yet, and then maybe he'll get a free copy of it. And he'll be like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh. But, yeah, so you've got Civ 3 out there. Why not compare the two Civs, Philip? Do the same as you did, doing it in a game as you did in Civilization 3, on the same or as close to the same size map as you can get, and compare how many clicks you perform in 1898, 1849, whenever. You know, one of my favorite worker options, and especially when you get into later games of Civ 4, is improving the trade network. I mean,
yeah,
that's
what I referred to earlier. You can have sort of say, I want roads here, and then the workers do it for you, more or less.
Yeah, it's click and
forget. Exactly what he said was wrong with Civ 3, that you couldn't do that.
Yeah, it's click and forget. I tell them to build a road from one city to the next city. I don't have to click on them or worry about them for the next few turns.
Yep.
They are so smart. They've grown up so much.
But I think...
Seems like only yesterday I had to micromanage them at every turn.
Hooray, automation.
They don't need me anymore.
Hooray.
I don't need them. Oh, and on page 5, Philip, way too much math. Okay, no.
Well, it is Gamma Sutra.
No.
It's not really meant for people like you.
Oh.
Who hate math.
I don't hate math. Math doesn't particularly like me all the time. It's just a little bit too much math. Perhaps spacing it out across a couple of pages. It's because, you know, I...
So that there's even more of it?
No, the same amount, just not as much on a single page. Because it made me go click right by it. It's just like, whoa. And you know...
Well, to be honest, so did I, but... And I'm a pretty big math guru.
Yeah, your average user is going to click right past that
boring page.
They're going to go, okay, math stuff, brain hurts.
Yes, exactly.
Even people who like math, their brain hurts.
And you know, Philip, when you write a 6-page article, people are going to start to nitpick. So here you go. Okay. You say that 7 is also the number of items the average person can keep in memory at the same time, citing somebody named Miller in 1956. This is why phone numbers within an area code are 7 digits. Unquote. Yet, well, what do we increasingly have? At least here in North America, 10-digit dialing. So you have to remember to dial the area code 2. Whatever happened to 7, Philip? You're living in the past. We need 10 now.
Well, if I can nitpick on you, it's actually 7 plus or minus 2. So 10 is not really... That falls kind of within the limit.
I don't think so.
That's the...
I'm not going to give him that much. I enjoy picking on Philip too much. And, oh, and this thing about beliefs that games won't be mainstream until they're sold at Borders. However, that's a separate rant.
Yeah, it's like, rather separate.
You know what? If they're going to start selling games like that, I don't think I want them to be mainstream. Not that there's anything wrong with Borders. It's just that every time they put it into a more mainstream market like that is when you get the flood of newbies. Now, we like new people playing the game, but I guess it goes into the whole internet. Now it's more accessible to people. Now more people are kind of, you know, the internet has gotten dumb. I don't want gaming to get dumb.
True. Internet driven on prawn. I went there. Yes, I did. But
you went to prawn?
Yes, I did.
That's when he's really surfing for news articles.
Yeah.
I have to do a lot of filtering, though. But I will say, I don't think it's so much in Philip's defense, but he does coin an acronym, a common acronym, and he puts different words, different meaning behind it. I do like this. Did you see the FPS? What's Philip's FPS? Did you see that?
I don't think I read that far. I quit reading at some point because it was just boring as hell, the article.
Oh, no. I was specifically scanning for acronyms. Yeah, this was on the later pages. FPS, fun per second. Oh, Philip, that's very clever.
Ooh,
I'm going to use that. I'm not going to give you any money. Sorry.
He'll sue your...
Good luck.
He doesn't know the acronym.
That's right. Okay, are we done with Philip?
Well, are you done with Philip?
I think so, for now.
If you have any news for us, any news tips, contact us with news tips.
Head on over to apolton.net/about, look for contact us, or news@apolton.net also works.
And you can also PM.
Yes, you can. Locutus, DanQ, Stoopy369, and Illuminatus, one of us four, will get that up there. We now turn our attention to our interview segment. Wouter, tell us something about yourself.
Okay, I'm Wouter Snijders, known as Locutus on the forums. I'm a 25-year-old student. I study computer science in the Netherlands. On the Polyton, I'm a news editor. I moderate the SIP forum called the Power Forums. And I've been a tester for Firaxis, and I designed some of the scenarios in the game. So, Makalua, how did you get into SIP?
Well, I'd been playing other computer games for a while, and a friend of mine we'd either swap games, or he would tell me, oh, you should try this, and he kept at me for a good while. You should need to try Civilization. You need to try Civilization. So I finally did and had my first experience of, you know, just one more turn where you wake up and it's not where you wake up. I mean, where you look around and then you're going, shouldn't I have already been asleep and woken up by now? Because, like, there's light coming in the window.
Yeah. So was this for, which game was this for? Civ 1?
Yeah, Civ 1. Civ 1, because that was the first computer we got was around then, so.
Oh, cool.
I've been playing a long time.
Yes.
So, Dan, tell us, what's your favorite Civ game and why?
Civilization 4 is my favorite Civ game, and that's because it's the only Civilization game I currently have installed on my computer.
Well, I shouldn't laugh. I uninstalled Civ 3 after I've been playing Civ 4 a while, but I've always had a Civ game on the computer.
Yeah, I've always had a Civ game on one of my computers since 1994, 95.
Oh, I beat you. I've been on there since then.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, what do you guys win, a prize?
Ooh.
We're more Civ nerdy Uber than you.
Yes.
There's your prize.
Oh. We love you too.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you like about Civ 4 then, Dan? What's so good about it that it's the only game you have installed?
I like the new religion. feature. I like how it's gone beyond just simply building temples and cathedrals, and now I can choose a religion and use that as my focus to try to get other civilizations to convert and come along my side, and then I backstab and betray them.
Much like real-world religions and politics.
Exactly.
And I will say that there's no one particular religion I choose over another. It's just whatever one I can research first that has not already been researched by somebody else, and away I go.
I always end up with Confucianism for some reason. Not by choice, I just sort of end up there.
You're just slow on the uptake with the early religions.
Oh. Or I get Isabella on the map and she hogs them all.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so I think we're on to question number 4, which I would be asking.
Yes.
5.
What an excellent introduction. That was entirely intentional.
Ooh.
Okay. Wouter, what's your least favorite Civ game and why?
That would be Civilization 3, because it was very buggy out of the box, and I'm not that patient with buggy games, and perhaps more importantly, it wasn't moddable at all, and I'm really big into the modding thing.
Wouter, you're next.
My turn. okay, so Makaralua, what other games do you play?
Well, as Dan already knows from a PM, I play Morrowind a lot still. Not that Oblivion wasn't bad, but I like Morrowind better. It's just me. I played World of Warcraft for a while, but yeah, that takes up way too much of your time. It's like it takes over your whole life very slowly. It's dangerous, kids. Don't start on the Warcrack.
Unlike Civilization?
I still play, and I like Civilization. And sometimes I play Unreal Tournament with a couple of friends. So I play a lot of stuff.
That doesn't take over your life?
What?
That doesn't take over your life?
Civilization? No, it has. Yeah? Well, sometimes. You get those games where you're like, I need to go to bed, but I just want to finish this little bit.
But it's a good thing.
Yes, it's a good thing. Yes, at least with Civ, I still have the power to say no.
Not that you do, but...
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I have to eat and sleep sometime. Those are required.
Aren't they overrated?
Sleep, yeah, maybe.
I think so.
Eating, not, though. Eating is not overrated.
I mean, it's the 21st century. Have we not evolved?
Well, unless you're living in the Matrix, no.
Maybe we are, and we just don't know it.
That's one of those scary thoughts.
Yes.
I demand a reboot.
It's not the only scary thing around here, but...
Are you implying anything?
I was referring to me, actually, but I didn't want to come out and say it, because I thought it might hurt my feelings, but
okay.
I've gone and done it now, thanks.
Aww.
Always happy to help.
I'm okay.
Well, when you finish sniffing, you can tell us what other podcasts you listen to.
I listen to Power User TV at poweruser.tv. One of the regular contributors is Brad Wardell, the project lead and on Galactic Civilizations 2 Dreadlords and the founder of the company. And that's how I found the podcast in the first place. But occasionally I also listen to Web Talk Radio and Ken Radio at webtalkguys.com. Well, they changed the URL now, but I think that still works. And kenradio.com. All tech podcasts.
Boring.
Oh, did you hear that, Brad? Wouter thinks your podcast is boring. You'll never have to worry about playtesting any Galactic Civilization title now.
Indeed. Well, to be honest, I also listen to Power User TV because of you, actually.
Yes.
You introduced me.
Yes, so Brad, I want a referral. Finders. For a listener.
Well, he gets 2 referrals. Now he's got me to listening, too.
Woohoo! Double nothing. All right.
Double nothing brownie points.
Okay, turning to the mailbag now. Apocalypse asks, how can I support this site financially? Get out your checkbook. Right? No, just kidding. Number of ways you can support the site financially. You can subscribe to Appleton Plus, the optional subscription service here on Appleton, where you don't get more content, you just get more goodies. You can read all about it at appleton.net/plus. There are a number of options available for several months, several years, or even take out a lifetime subscription. Why not take out a lifetime subscription? Who wants renewal notices? One more renewal notice. You'll never get one from us if you subscribe to that lifetime. We thank you so much for your support. And you get rid of ads, even though I know everybody loves the ads. How else can you support the site financially? You can support it through a number of our affiliations, such as Amazon. We've got Amazon.ca, .com, US, Germany, France, Chips and Bits, Stardock. We get a commission on every one of the sales that if you click on that link and you buy in that session. So what that means is you click on the link and then you buy at that point. You don't click on the link and then close your browser and come back. Please don't do that. Please. Help us out any way you can. But you might also be saying, well, I don't want to subscribe to Appleton Plus. I don't want to get an affiliation. You can also support us through our store. Everybody wants to wear Appleton swag. You know you do. You'll be very popular amongst your friends. Or not. Even if it's just your imaginary friends, you too can be popular. Head on over to appleton.net/store. And finally, how else can you support this site financially? By visiting us. By visiting us and not running pop-up blockers, you help support the site financially. Ads just being displayed, some you need to click on, some not. I'm not saying click on all the ads that you see, but just visit the site, generate traffic, tell a friend, and we can help pay the bills, and you can help pay the bills, and Appleton will keep on going. We're 8 years young. Here's to another 8 and beyond.
Or you can just send Dan a check.
You could. But I'm not going to give out my mailing address. But actually, the best way is just open up. You got a PayPal account? Send me the max. And say, Dan, you're wonderful. Cannot live without your site. Please, please take all my worldly money. I probably will accept.
Yes. I like that one best.
Me too. I'll send you a thank you note. And you can print it off and put it on your fridge. Woohoo! Fridge magnets.
Better give them free Apple Lightning Plus, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next mailbag. Okay.
Shall I do the next one?
By all means.
I'm just going to go with the order in which they came. Rasputin asks, I have set the correct time zone, GMT plus 10. That's Australia or thereabouts. But the wrong time is displayed. The reason for this, Rasputin, is because there are a lot of different time zones all over the world. Some are, daylight savings in English, I think?
Yes.
Some have daylight savings, some don't have, and especially in Australia, New Zealand, the southern hemisphere, summer is when winter is in the north, so you have daylight savings in a different part of the year. Some places have a year an hour daylight savings. Some only go 30 minutes ahead. So it's a very, very complicated system. And our software isn't all that complicated. It can't take everything into account. So if there's a little discrepancy, just pick a different time zone that might not be exactly what you have. If your time zone is 1 hour ahead, take GMT plus 11 instead of 10. Even if you live in GMT 10. You still have the correct time. I think that... anything to add, Dan?
Nope. Not at all.
Okay.
Now, Mercator asked, how do you submit a news item? Which I think we covered that a little bit earlier, but of course you can PM. You two of them are you and Locutus there, but...
Snoopy369 and Illuminatus. Well, basically, you can send it to any staff member, and if they can't help you, they'll send it on to us. So any staff of Appleton, just send them a PM. Or go to appleton.net/about, click on Contact Us, and you can contact us there as well.
Okay, and the next couple of ones we've got here we covered in the interview, so we head on over to Cyrus the Mike. I can't see any ground. I can't see hills, mountains, or water. It's all black, and Cyrus is referring to Civilization IV. First off, make sure that your system meets the minimum system requirements.
I know that sounds silly, but that's the number one thing.
It's the number one thing to check. If you don't meet the minimum system requirements, you might have a problem.
Specifically, the problem here is probably that you don't have TNL support for your graphics card. That's Transform and Lightning. In the Civ4 help forum, there's a big thread with a long list of graphic cards that supports TNL. If yours is not in there, there's a good chance you don't have TNL support, and then you get black terrain.
That was my problem. And actually, it was even worse than that. I couldn't even get the game to load.
That's a slightly bigger problem.
Yes, it
not
is.
Quite the same.
Not quite the same. And what's the next step to do? Make sure you're running the latest patch.
The latest patch, and especially also the latest graphics drivers.
Yes, check your manufacturer's website. Find out who manufactured your video card. If you don't know, when you purchase your system, there should be a sheet with that on there, or you can check on your computer as well under the configuration settings somewhere under the control panel there. It will tell you. Get the manufacturer's name, log into their website, look up the card, check the different driver versions, and if you're not sure how to check what driver version you have, again, through the control panel, you can Google that for specific instructions. So, system requirements, patch. If you're still having problems, the Appleton forums are full of people that are there to help you. Smarter than me. Maybe that's not
that's
saying
true.
Much, I don't know, but anyway.
Let's see, now Orange wants to know, how do I sell improvements or disband cities in Civ 4? Well, you don't. They kind of took that concept out of the game.
Exactly.
Because they totally redid corruption and maintenance and everything, and that was part of your combating it, but now you just have to live with it. If you want to get rid of a city, you could let either the barbarians or one of the other civs take it over and raise it, and then you take it back and raise it.
Or you just give it away in diplomacy.
Yeah, if you want to not have the maintenance.
Yep.
Just depends on what you want to do with that spot. Otherwise, you're just stuck with it.
Yep.
And the buildings.
And there we go.
So
and for the buildings, it doesn't really make sense to want to sell them because they don't cost anything anymore. Back in Civ 3, you paid maintenance for every building, and right now you pay maintenance for cities. So it's not... Yeah, well, you may get a little bit of money. You used to get money for it, but, well, there are other ways to make money.
Yeah, it might reduce... It might, well... And it also helped reduce your maintenance cost in the older game, but it's all rolled into one thing now.
Yeah, right.
So
now,
if you don't need that building in that city, just don't build it.
Pillaging's good.
No,
in the game.
Huh?
You want to make money.
In
the
pillaging,
game, but in the game, okay? I'm not saying...
Well, you have to pillage.
It's got to be clear here.
But, yeah, don't turn into a Capital
That's
One commercial.
Right.
And you probably want to pillage your opponent's improvement.
Yes.
You could probably still make money from pillaging yours, maybe, but I don't think it'd help you much.
I actually think you can't, but you can pillage them, and don't think you get money for them.
Aww.
Although I don't think
Aww.
I've actually
tried. I
should
get money for pillaging my own territory.
Yeah, they should take money away.
Raping and plundering your own people and getting paid for it in the process.
Some warmonger's dream.
Yes.
Okay.
So... That was the mail segment for this week. If you have any questions for us, you can send them to, what was it, Dan?
Polycast@appleton.net. That's PolyCast at appleton.net.
And if you really want to humor us, send us a voicemail, and we will play it on the air.
Reach us through our Skype account, the Polycast, by using Skype yourself. The call is free. Download Skype from skype.com, skype.com. You can also phone us if you prefer. In North America, call 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, call 44-20-7871-7659. That's 44-20-7871 Polly. No profanity or hate mail, please.
And welcome to the Modcast. In this section of the show, we discuss all the hot topics on the forums. And I think I would like to start with the changes that were recently made to the forums. Quite a few forums were moved to a different place. Specifically, a lot of forums were turned into sub-forums, and a new history forum was added. Dan, for a long time, you were quite reluctant to add a history forum. Why the change of mind?
Persistence of people was definitely part of it. There were a number of discussions in the off-topic forum that were history-related, and they were being lost within there. And so we decided to give it a chance because it has been asked for years and years. And we really couldn't come up with any more decent-sounding excuses as to why we weren't going to create a history forum. But at the same time, the history forum also has a connection to a Appleton in and of itself. It's off-topic, but history, I mean, that's what Civ is about, very much so, one way or another. You know, accuracies aside in some cases, as we talked about earlier in this podcast, right? So we're going to give it a chance, but we are not going to have a babe forum.
I was going to go into that.
Or a dudes forum. Okay, I realize we kind of open a Pandora's box here, but the difference...
please?
No, see, that's why...
Please?
Bringing up the puppy dog eyes now.
But again, this is not a visual medium, so that's not going to help. Unless you send a picture later, and I probably won't even look at it, so don't waste your time. But as I said, the addition of the history forum, having a sub-forum within Off Topic, again, the connection to Appleton and Civ itself. We can see a direct correlation
I've been
right
happy
there.
That's
why we have that. Plus, again, the persistence. And as I said, we want to give it a shot and see how it goes. I also talked about the other forum consolidation, just so there wasn't as much scrolling on the front page. We also had some forums that, while still very relevant, didn't have a lot of conversations in them. So you can still access them, and they're listed as sub-forums of larger forums, and there are still links to them from the homepage, just not as prominent. And there weren't any forum closures this time, and there was one forum addition. I'm not sure if that's going to stick around at this point, but it was requested, and I believe it's for Civilization 3 Play by Email Tracker thread, since there was also one for Civ 4 and Civ 2 some other combination thereof.
Well, that does help to keep the trackers separate. I should know from playing PBMs, because then when I want to start a new one, it doesn't get buried in the avalanche of everybody going, turn sent, turn sent, turn sent.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Colt.
It is a lot easier not to have to scroll up and down so far, too.
Colon unworthy colon? That's right.
We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Colon unworthy colon. Gee.
He didn't get his daily quota of being bowed at.
Yes, you've met your quota. This is good. Your account can still stay active.
Woohoo.
See, ever wonder why an account really gets disabled? There's the truth. Not enough unworthies being used. It's just... There's the secret. It only took 8 years. Now you know. And just sending them by private message. No, it has to be a public display, okay? Unworthy.
Okay,
next.
That's good to know.
Enough of unworthy.
Should a Civ game have an economic victory? I'm going to go with what JB said on this. An economic victory is what makes any of the other games feasible, a prerequisite of victory.
Yeah, I think that came up from the people like me who also played Alpha Centauri, and that was a win condition in that game. But he's right. If your economy is totally tanked, it's kind of hard to win the game because you get behind in everything. You know, in your technology, in how big of an army you can support. It's just... Yeah, it's sort of integrated into everything else, so it's not really so much separate.
Yeah, all I have to add here is I agree.
And just before we go, kind of a little, throw a little bonus in here. As many of you know, from time to time, Appleton is visited by ad bots and spam bots. And sometimes they're really annoying. Sometimes they're disturbing, but sometimes they're just downright hilarious. Like this one. Hi all, I am from Ohio and I'm interested in making soy candles and small jelly jars and tarts. Is there a good supplier? Where do I start? Thank you.
Yes, that was a good one. It didn't even include a link.
I'm hoping that was it off topic.
That was in Civ 4 General, actually.
So maybe this person knows something that we don't. I don't know. I know you're probably under. I know you're under NDA, whatever. But maybe that's coming in the next Civ 4 expansion that you'll.
Oh yes, be able actually, that's together with giant death robots.
Oh,
those are the two new features in the.
Yes, giant death robots.
Wicked.
And the name of the expansion is Candles and Giant Death Robots. Polyton exclusive.
Wow. And you know, when people do a search for just part of that title, there probably aren't going to be many others that they're going to get confused with. So that's really unique. That's good. That's,
exactly.
That's going to help that shoot up like on a Google search.
Except for the people who are actually searching for soy candles. And what is this civilization game?
Yeah, I know.
Hmm.
And why only in small jelly jars and tarts? Are other containers not acceptable? I don't know why you discriminate.
I'm trying to figure out how you'd put a soy candle in a tart. Did they mean a tart pan, or did they trying to... It's very confusing.
I think they are confused. I think that's the first problem. We can't help that very much.
Well, how can a bot get confused?
Yes, I was about to say that.
I don't know, but I just had to share that one because that has to be the best bot ever. You get the best bot award. Congratulations.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
If it even
and I believe you had a term for that, didn't you, Ryder? With this kind of bot?
Yes, I called it a weird bot.
You heard it here first.
Ad bots, spam bots, what other bots you have? Nigerian bots. I think those are about all of them.
Prawn bots.
Oh, porn bots, of course.
Prawn. Yep.
Prawn. Prawn bot.
Prawn bots.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And now we have the weird bot.
Well, folks, thank you very much for listening to the pilot episode of Polycast from the Polyton Civilization site at apolyton.net. For all of us here, Imran, who couldn't be with us today, Wouter, and Makalua, you guys want to say goodbye?
Bye.
Bye. Hope I didn't annoy you or anything.
Isn't that my line? Have a question, comment, or concern about the show? You can email the co-hosts, polycast@apolyton.net, or phone them. Your call may even be used on the show. Reach us through our Skype account, the Polycast, by using Skype yourself. The call is free. Download Skype from skype.com. That's skype.com. You can also phone us if you prefer. In North America, call 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, call 44-20-7871-7659. That's 44-20-7871-POLY. No profanity or hate mail, please.
Whole world gets to hear you.
Woohoo! You too can be cool.
Yes.
Until next time, keep on seven. Recording date September 1st, 2006. Edited by Daniel Dan Q. Quick. Soundtrack courtesy Civilization 4 and Warlords Expansion Pack. Copyright 2006, Polyton Civilization site at apolyton.net.